Up the steps you hear him climb, a full of sun, a full of rest. Listen to the pictures flow across the room into your mind. They go. Listen to the strings. They jangle and dangle on the old guitar.
You were listening to Minstrel of the Dawn by Gordon Lightfoot from the album with the same name, Minstrel of the Dawn. We're going to be talking today to Dr. Carolyn Dean. I see her as a bringer of a new dawn in medicine, and so that's why I played the song. She's someone that you'll want to pay close attention to. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for Sound Health Radio on VBS Radio, and for the next hour, we'll be sharing a bit of conversation designed to provide options and information for self-health. We're going to be taking calls. This is going to be an audience participation show. So toll-free, 877-876-5227. And toll-free in Canada, 888-810-8322. And if that's busy, a direct line, 530-8763-5227. 222. If you didn't get those, or if you forget them, just jump on bbsradio.com, and they're all on the front among a lot of numbers that you can call. As usual, we're going to be monitoring SoundHealth at soundhealth.org for your call-ins and or well, your emails, and radio at vocalprofiling.com. We've got a couple of announcements. The Journal of Bioacoustic Biology, is available online. That's at jbab.org, justicebadappleboy.org. Lots of information, about 50 pages now in the journal about sound health and the research that we're doing here at the clinic and how frequency relates to the body. Announcement number two, archives are up on BBS Radio, lots and lots of them, so if you've missed a few shows, you can always go back and check them out. We have them listed with descriptions now, so you can see which ones that you want to listen to. And the last announcement, we are starting a new show, an additional show, called Vocal Profiling Live. It's going to be premiering, we think, on April 9th, BBS Radio, nighttime, 5:30 to 6:30 is the spot they've chosen for us. And this comes out of your complaints that we aren't doing enough about vocal profiling and sound health on this show because we have so many great people to bring to you. So we'll be using a sample of your voice. We'll be doing it live, right online. You'll be able to watch it. And it's going to help you bring unknown information to consciousness. So it's going to be very topic specific. So if there's things that you want to know about yourself, maybe they're hidden, or maybe they just haven't come to the surface yet, you can call us and ask, and we'll try to help you answer some questions. Okay, that's the end of the announcement. On BBS Radio, we try to bring our listeners ways that they can have dominion over their own health. And tonight's one of those shows. We're going to be talking with Dr. Carolyn Dean. She's both a medical doctor and a naturopathic doctor. She assists individuals with all types of illnesses at any stage of severity. I'm reading from her site now. Dr. Dean specializes in managing and healing often misdiagnosed and chronic conditions such as digestive disorders, hormone imbalances, reoccurring infections, irritable bowel syndrome, widespread inflammation, allergies, anxiety, fibromyalgia, mood swings, chronic fatigue, fluid retention, lost vitality, and other conditions that are not satisfactorily controlled. And I might say all those ones that modern medicine can't do anything about. She has a specialty practice by phone. More on that later. And you can visit her website while we're talking at www.carolyndean, one word, www.thebeatbox.org.
She dot com.
Dot com. Oh, I have it wrong. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dean.
Hello, Sherry.
Changed my notes here. Thank you for being on the show and taking time out from your very busy schedule.
Oh, thank you for having me. It sounds wonderful, the things that you're doing. I'm glad to hear about them.
BBS is a great station. We are trying to be for the people, by the people, for the people. So my first introduction to you was Death by Modern Medicine, and I was so intrigued by that because I have a statement that's from one of my papers that I'd like to read to you. From my perspective, complaints about modern medical care come from the consumer. In no other service-oriented business can the end consumer be dictated to, talked down to, and manipulated as it is in today's medicine. The issues are not being presented by some consumer group who represents us, those who need medical services, but we, the consumer, are dissatisfied, and we're showing that by withholding money from those who dare say they represent us. It is the consumer who should be dictating how we're being treated, and it is we who pay the bill, and our rights are being ignored. So this is one of my soapboxes. And I would like to talk to you about that a bit, start with an overview of Death by Modern Medicine and about that book that you wrote and an article about it, and then go to your new book, The Magnesium Miracle. We could talk to you probably for a week and never cover all of the things that you have written. I was so amazed by the pages and pages of articles and all covering things about consumer rights and what we ought to know. So, can we start with that big question about the failure of the modern medicine monopoly? Can you speak to that?
Yes, certainly, Sherry. It was when my mother was dying of acute leukemia in her 80s, and this is back a few years ago, that I began to look at death by medicine, because elderly people don't get acute leukemia. It's usually drug-induced or chemical-induced, and she had been on a heart medication for blood pressure and one for cholesterol. And when I looked up those two medications, I saw that a potential side effect of each of them was acute leukemia. So I began looking at the peer-reviewed journals and government databases and found statistics that were quite hair-raising. It began with a paper, Death by Medicine. Gary Null asked me to do it to find statistics for him, and as I said, I'd been looking into it for my mom. And coming across hospital adverse drug reactions, medical errors, bed sores, in-hospital infections, malnutrition, outpatient adverse drug reactions, unnecessary procedures, and surgery fatalities, the total I came up with on an annual basis is 750,000 people die prematurely through medical interventions.
So modern medicine is failing modern man.
Yes, it's become such a consumer property that our health has been commercialized to the extent that we're actually making money for modern medicine by being ill and by buying more and more drugs, and by the fact that if we take medications and have side effects and we go to a doctor, several studies I found said that doctors don't know how to diagnose drug side effects. They usually mistake them for the disease condition getting worse, and either end up giving more of the same dangerous medication that's causing the side effects, or giving another medication to deal with the side effects. So you have this buildup of drugs, buildup of toxins and poisons in the system, where what we're seeing in the naturopathic medical side of things is that most people are so toxic that this is one of the reasons why they're developing symptoms. So we have this incredible disconnect between modern medicine and natural medicine, where a patient will go to a doctor, a modern medical doctor, and think, well, I'm going to a doctor so I can feel better and so the doctor can help me stay well. Whereas in medical school, I learned how to diagnose and treat diseases. So when you go to a doctor is looking at your symptoms to put them into a disease picture and then find a drug that goes with that disease picture. We didn't learn about nutrition or the deficiency of vitamins and minerals that can cause many symptoms. So in order to stay healthy, a person has to pretty much do it on their own. Read the books, listen to shows like yours, go to naturopathic doctors, and work on staying healthy.
Is there any other profession that you can think of that would be allowed to kill 750,000 of their consumers within a year and still be allowed to practice?
That's a great question. I equated these deaths to if it happened in the airline industry, that it's equivalent to jumbo jets crashing every day. If you look at aviation, 0.1% failure rate means 2 unsafe plane landings per day at one of the major airports. Or in the U.S. mail system, it would be 16,000 pieces of lost mail every hour. Or in banking, losing 32,000 bank checks every hour. So it's not happening in other industries. If it does, yes, people make a lot of noise, but there's something incredible that happens with medicine where we begin to allow what we call the error in medicine, the allowance of drug reactions, the benefits outweighing the risks. So when you talk like that, then you almost accept the risk. Doctors will say, oh yes, all drugs have side effects, but you want to stay healthy, don't you? You want to lower your blood pressure, lower your blood sugar, lower your cholesterol. So what's happened is we equate high or even just slightly high cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar with diseases. And we tell patients that they should take these very strong medications in order that these diseases are prevented. It's no longer just treating symptoms. We're now taking a lot of medications in hopes that we don't get disease, whereas those three that I mentioned, cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure, they're all extremely amenable to taking a good diet, having some exercise, doing some anti-stress therapies, and taking some vitamins and minerals. So these natural interventions, unfortunately, aren't discussed by your medical doctor because your medical doctor didn't learn this in medical school.
Are these the kinds of things that you talk to people about when you consult with them over the phone?
Yes. People, as you mentioned at the outset, they come to me when they get to sometimes an impasse with their medical doctor. I often see people who've had so much intervention, so many medications, that their problems are in fact worsening. And they do want to know from a medical doctor, well, why is my doctor continuing to give me these medications if I don't really need them? For example, with women in menopause, they need a few extra points of cholesterol in order to help create their hormones as their ovaries are starting to diminish their function. They need that extra cholesterol also as an antioxidant. So when a doctor says you have to have a cholesterol that's 200 or below, I've had clients who've told me if their cholesterol is 205, their doctor will recommend a statin drug. And unfortunately, these statin drugs have many, many side effects. We don't even know the extent of the side effects. We're actually an ongoing experiment with the side effects of such medications. So I discuss diet, supplements, exercise, stress techniques with my clients and give them the support they need to take on these therapies, and they find that their blood sugar improves, blood pressure goes down, their cholesterol goes down, and they can wean off these medications. So it's very empowering for people to be able to find out that actually what they've been thinking all along, that gee, I seem to be taking too many medications, and oh, as soon as I started this cholesterol drug, I started getting pains in my legs and in my joints. And usually people will go to their doctor, as I mentioned, on these cholesterol drugs, they quite often get aches and pains, and then be prescribed an anti-inflammatory drug. That's where we started seeing the rise in the use of the Vioxx and Celebrex anti-inflammatories, painkiller drugs, mostly because of people were taking them to treat symptoms of their drug therapies for cholesterol. The other medications that cause side effects are antihypertensive medications, diuretics, for example. They'll drain out potassium as well as magnesium. So a lot of people who are already low on magnesium, which is one of the reasons for developing high blood pressure, they'll take a diuretic, they'll lose more magnesium, and their blood pressure will actually worsen. So the doctor says, oh, well, you need more of this diuretic, or we'll add another antihypertensive. And it's not until a person studies nutrition on their own or reads books that they understand that they are actually losing nutrients that could be causing them more problems.
Do people have to have a diagnosis to make an appointment with you?
No. I speak with people about their wellness, about their nutrition. I'm not doing medicine on the phone. I'm not giving them a diagnosis or prescribing medications. People can call me with questions. If I feel they need to see a doctor or have testing, I'll recommend them either go to someone in their area, or there are actually laboratories where you can get tests. Blood testing without a doctor's prescription that can help you follow your own health. So yeah, anybody can call me and ask me anything. If I don't know the answer, I'll try to hook them up with someone who does.
We need to know more about labs without a doctor's prescription. Is that on your website?
That particular site is not. I can give you the website if you like.
Okay, great.
It's called yourfuturehealth.com. It's run by a nurse who she began looking into doing this type of lab testing when she couldn't get answers for her son's health conditions when he was very young. And what this woman says, her name is Ellie Cullen, that most blood tests are done and are the results or the averages, the normal levels on the lab sheet are actually an average of the sick population that the lab services, they're not normal levels and they're not optimal levels. For example, 30 years ago when I first started in medicine, the average or normal cholesterol was 245, 250. And it appears that since the cholesterol drugs have become so popular that we're now being told that our cholesterol should be lower and lower as what some people consider a marketing device, whereas the original studies on cholesterol, and I have this in my book, The Magnesium Miracle, the original studies on cholesterol were done on rabbits using laboratory-grade cholesterol that was rancid, so that given to rabbits, it obviously caused oxidation problems in the body, which ended up as being plaques in the blood vessels of these rabbits. And that whole flawed study is used as a reason for calling cholesterol the bad guy in heart disease. Whereas cholesterol, we know, is extremely important. In fact, it's the vital building block for hormones. It coats all the cells in the body with a fatty lipid membrane. And especially in the brain, if the neurons lose their fatty membrane, you develop symptoms like neurological symptoms, like MS, for example, is a demyelination of the lipid layer of the neurons. So we have people who have too low cholesterol developing symptoms like global amnesia, as well as the other statin side effects I mentioned with the muscle pain, and it also disrupts the mitochondria in the body that are the factory cells in the body. And also it creates problems with an enzyme called coenzyme reductase. And that enzyme actually is supported by magnesium. So if a person takes enough magnesium, they can actually balance their cholesterol instead of killing this enzyme that suppresses cholesterol production.
What is the name of that enzyme again?
HMG-CoA reductase.
Okay. It's pretty in my notes for the show here. I have three or four more questions, and then I want to know more about your new book. And this may be a rhetorical question. Does modern medicine move forward with medicine and health in mind, or does it move forward with money in mind?
It's more that it moves forward with drugs and surgery and expensive investigations in mind. It's become a system that is driven by the mistaken belief that every condition should have a drug treatment, if not that, a surgical treatment, and that we have to investigate every disease with radiation and other measures that have their own side effects. So it's become such a high-tech industry, medicine, that it mainly, as you said, it has a basis in earning money more than it seems to have a basis in trying to keep people healthy or make people healthy. And we see that with the way many of the non-medical therapies are attacked. Something as simple as the Gerson therapy for cancer, which is mainly vegetable diet, detoxification, certain supplements, and teaching a person how to improve their diet and lifestyle. Such a therapy back in the 1930s and 40s in America was found to be curing cancer, but it was suppressed. And many, many other alternative therapies are suppressed. There are many of these therapies that I recommend to my clients where they can go, and sometimes it's a clinic in Mexico because these clinics are suppressed in America, and people have to go out of the country in order to partake in them.
Do you think, I don't know what you call it, the modern medical system is going to fix itself, or are we going to be forced to force them to fix it? Or can it be fixed?
It needs a whole shift in the thinking. I really don't know if it can be fixed, Sherry. I did a couple of years of traveling and investigating the whole Codex Alimentarius. And I went to meetings in Bonn, Germany, and Rome, Italy, where the World Health Organization and the World Trade Organization are trying to standardize food and dietary supplements around the world. And you see the mark of the World Trade Organization where they want to kind of dumb down our supplements so that they're mainly synthetic and low potency and can be traded across borders to make it economically viable for publicly traded companies. So we have the basis in mainly commercial industry. So for our own health, we do have to take our health in our own hands, but we are still subject to insurance. I don't think many people know that the billing codes for our health services are owned by the American Medical Association, which drives the whole economics of medicine. It means that when you go to a doctor, your doctor can only bill for codes that are licensed. And at this point, most of these codes, as I said, are owned by the AMA. A doctor who does alternative practices, homeopathy and maybe certain body work, or prescribes herbs or intravenous vitamins, or even sits with you and gives you nutritional counseling, none of these have codes that the doctor can bill for through insurances. So that's why most doctors are who practice alternatives and who do naturopathic medicine, they aren't covered by insurance because they don't have the codes. It's very, very simple. There's a site, I've written a number of articles on this this whole dilemma. There's a site called abccodes.com, and they had a several-year contract to prove that if we had other codes that could code for alternatives and safer procedures, that we would save money. And they ended up saving millions and millions of dollars because they utilized other than the normal drugs and surgery codes. But they were stopped. They weren't allowed to proceed, even though they had proven that they could save money, because the powers that be don't want us to move into a healthier state, it would appear, and the AMA doesn't want to lose its control.
Well, I was appalled by the fact that every time one of those codes is used, then the owners of it, the AMA, gets paid money for it. Tim Boland was on the show and talked to us about that.
Yes, I know Tim Boland. Yes, he's been very active in trying to expose the problem with the ABC, with the whole coding system. And yes, it's it does boil down to money, doesn't it, Sherry?
It did for me, because our insurance company only allowed us to go to their lab, their pharmacy, their doctor, and I just said, enough is enough. We just quit using them. We use them for catastrophic, and mm-hmm. we have started in our company a plan where people put their money in that, and it's like self-insurance, and they get to spend it on whatever they want.
Our
dilemma came out of, we had insurance, and our part of it was $8,500 a year. We only have 9 employees. And they put in their $8,500, and out of that $17,000, we got one bill paid for about $130.
Oh, my goodness.
That mm-hmm. was just the last straw for us. So
mm-hmm.
That's our way of... It's not fighting back. It's just being proactive and taking a stand. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your book. I want to know about, this is a fascinating subject. We're talking about people really need it. They need the faith and the courage that they can do this. But your mm-hmm. book, The Magnesium Miracle, is mm-hmm. A republication of mm-hmm. a book, and it's updated. I want to know about the book, because I think is incredibly important to me personally, and I think it's going to be important to a lot of other people. So tell us about the book.
Yes, The Magnesium Miracle, I wrote it first around 2000. The first edition came out 2003, and the second edition 2007, because the publishers, Random House, just found that people seemed so interested in this topic. It's a simple mineral that you wouldn't think you could get a 300-page book out of it, but the more I researched, the more I found how vital this mineral is. I'll just say right at the outset, if you just can take only one supplement, or you think you'd like to try one supplement, just please make it magnesium, because magnesium is vital for 325 different enzyme systems in the body. And what the enzymes do is they allow the different metabolic functions in the body. They will assist in energy production, or magnesium specifically assists these certain enzymes in the production of energy in the body, and the synthesis of protein, transmission of nerve signals, help to relax muscles, and even are involved with temperature regulation. So they affect all aspects of body functioning. And what they mostly are known for, the whole magnesium mineral picture, is the way they affect the muscles. And since the heart is the biggest muscle in the body, they have a very important effect on the heart. If there is not enough magnesium in the body, that the function of the magnesium is to keep calcium from flooding muscle cells. So if there's not enough magnesium, too much calcium will get into the cells and start putting them into spasm. And if your heart muscle goes into spasm, that's either angina or heart attack. So it's really crucial that people have enough magnesium. Now, we don't have magnesium in our diet as much as we used to 100 years ago. We had about 500 milligrams of magnesium. Now we may have 150 milligrams. And at the same time that we've lost the magnesium in our diet, we're actually getting probably the same amount of calcium. And mostly women are taking more calcium because we're taking calcium supplements to prevent bone loss. So in fact, we're creating even more of an imbalance between our calcium and magnesium, because we're taking calcium supplements. So we have the statistics that are showing us that women are developing more heart disease than ever before, and this could be because we're taking calcium pills We're eating a high calcium diet. We're not getting enough magnesium, and we're causing our muscles to go into spasm. The same can happen in our blood vessels, causing us hypertension. I've already mentioned that magnesium is necessary for us to balance our cholesterol, and also it balances our blood sugar. If you don't have enough magnesium, you don't process your blood sugar properly, and it ends up elevating in your blood and causing diabetes. So it's a mineral that affects every part of your body.
How would someone know if their levels of magnesium were in jeopardy, or just everybody's is?
About 80% of the population is low, and it's a good question, Terry, about the blood levels and how do you measure, because that's been the problem with magnesium. Only 1% of the body's total magnesium is found in the bloodstream, and it's kept at a very specific level. If it goes too low, then magnesium is pulled out of the bones or the tissues. So when you do a blood test for magnesium, it always looks pretty okay. So doctors don't really measure it anymore because it never really gives them information. They tend to ignore it. But what we know from specialized tests called ionized magnesium tests is that people who have migraines, anxiety, pregnant women, people with osteoporosis, people with heart disease, they have low magnesium levels. So as I mentioned, 80% of people deficient. I have 100 factors listed in the book that help identify magnesium deficiency. Anything from having a drink of alcohol once a day to asthma, anxiety, constipation, bronchitis, drinking coffee, having cold extremities, as I mentioned, the diabetes, headaches, any type of heart disease, kidney stones, all of these symptoms indicate a deficiency of magnesium. I also talk about people with restless legs. We see the ads on TV now recommending a medication for restless legs, whereas it can very easily be turned around by taking adequate levels of magnesium.
We have a question here from our audience about restless legs, but I have to ask, can you get too much magnesium?
Magnesium is a wonderful supplement because when there's too much in the body, it comes out as loose bowel movements. It's also, you get rid of it in the urine as well. It doesn't tend to build up. It's it has a laxative action so that if you're taking too much, then it comes out the other end. It's only contraindicated in people who have bowel obstruction or who are on renal kidney dialysis or who have myasthenia gravis. So it's mainly people who are definitely under close medical supervision.
Well, the writer says that they went to the doctor with restless legs and they suggested that they take magnesium, but it wasn't until they went off flour products that the restless leg symptoms then went away.
Yes, that's an excellent point. And the problem with natural medicine with some doctors who are only have the 7 or 10 minutes to give you advice is that that we can take a symptom and just say, oh, take this mineral. Whereas, as we were mentioning earlier, when I do a consultation with someone, I spend an hour and I find out what they're eating. And mostly I tell people to avoid sugar, wheat, and dairy for a couple of weeks and see how they feel with any of their symptoms, because they can so often be from taking these non-foods, these very high sugar foods that are hard to digest and either cause symptoms being food allergies or food sensitivities, or because I work with yeast quite a bit, these foods can grow yeast in the intestines that can give people all kinds of symptoms, especially if they've taken antibiotics, which kills off the good bacteria in the intestines. So, yes, it's not enough just to mention a symptom and say, well, take this vitamin or mineral. That's what we accuse doctors of doing is listing a disease and giving a drug for it.
There's a simple question here. Would you recommend getting your magnesium from a magnesium bath?
Yes, Epsom salts is a way that you can actually absorb magnesium through the skin. I also use magnesium oil or magnesium gel. They can be applied to the skin. In fact, when I wrote one of my books, Ideas for Dummies, I realized that there are some people who have irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea that can't take magnesium by mouth, so they have to take it in their bath with Epsom salts or take a magnesium oil or magnesium gel. And the people I refer to for the magnesium oil and gel, it's a company that makes sure that there are no heavy metals, especially mercury, in their products, because a lot of minerals can have heavy metal contamination. And
don't you also have a product?
I don't have products.
Oh, I thought there was a product on your site.
No, I have books and my telephone consultations. Mm-hmm. I do sometimes various companies can sponsor me for lectures, such as the globallight.net with the magnesium oil, magnesium gel, mm-hmm. but no, I don't have any products myself.
I think we have a caller on the line. I heard the line open. Do we have a caller, Don?
Yes, we do.
What is your question for Dr. Dean?
Yes. Hi, Sherry. This is Ethel. And I do have a question for Dr. Dean. I am concerned. I am an individual who gets in a swimming pool with chlorine. And I did read in Kevin Trudeau's book that chlorine can increase cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you is, how can I be proactive and get blood tests or whatever to actually test my chlorine?
Well, chlorine, it doesn't stay as chlorine in the body. If it's absorbed, it goes through different metabolic stages to try to get rid of it as quickly as possible. So, I don't know. At this point, I can't give you the information about testing for it. You could check with yourfuturehealth.com and just give them, go to the website, get their phone number, and ask them if they have a blood test for that.
Well, I would also be concerned about fluoride, too, if you're going to do this in a bath.
Well, yes, I try to get people to use filters on their showers. You can get a filter that will take the chlorine out, the fluoride. That is a concern. I haven't found any shower filters that will take the fluoride out. And unfortunately, fluoride does block the thyroid gland. We're seeing problems with it as well in osteoporosis. We know that the fluoride in toothpaste and also in drinking water is interfering with bone growth and is actually associated with a certain type of bone cancer that boys can get. So fluoride can be a problem, and it's almost as if you, on one side of the scale, you put all these layers of toxins that we're exposed to. So on the other side of the scale, you have to work on detoxification, and in anything that goes in your body, you should try to make it as healthy as possible, because we have to balance out what's in our environment.
Well, when I read parts of your book that said almost everybody has a magnesium deficiency, I wanted to test it out. So I had them pull at random 5 charts from our files, and these are the things that we found. A Down syndrome chart had a fault on magnesium that was the myelin protein precursor. Somebody with pancreatic cancer had a fault on arachidonic acid associated with magnesium. There was somebody that came in just as a control and didn't have anything really wrong with them. And Ethel, we're hearing feedback from your radio there.
No, hold on.
Somebody that just had nothing wrong with them, just came in as a control, their MSM was in stress with their magnesium. Heart arrhythmia, it was myelin sheathing. And we had one lady with heel spurs, and she had 4 faults on magnesium. Corticotropin, tyrosine, selenium, and pregnenolone. So this bears out what's going on. We have so many other good questions here that have just come in. I don't know which ones to do.
One last point. Can I ask one last point, Sherry? Dr. Dean, are you in agreement that Kevin Trudeau is right in saying that chlorine pulls increased cholesterol? Is that correct?
I don't know if that. I haven't seen that research.
Okay.
I imagine that can come from any of these chemicals can be toxic to the liver, which can interfere with cholesterol. But I don't know specifically what he's talking about there.
Okay, I appreciate your answer. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, Ethel.
Thanks, Ethel.
Oh, bye-bye.
We have 3 really good questions, and we have about 3 minutes to do them.
Okay.
One is there anything that we can do as consumers besides eating just magnesium? Should we have it put in the water? Should we have it put in a flour, in something? So is there any consumer movement for this?
Well, actually, there is a website, magnesiumwater.com, where Paul, I'll have to remember his name, I quote him in the book. I'm looking up his website. It's MG, so MaryGeorgeWater.com, MG.com. And this gentleman wants to get magnesium put in our drinking water so that we can stop this incredible crisis, this magnesium deficiency crisis. So you can go to that website and support what's going on there.
Okay, I'm going to give you 2 more questions, but I'm going to ask if they're addressed on your website because we don't have time to deal with them. I've been diagnosed as being bipolar, and some days it's really hard to remember that this is a disease and not just my ragged personality. Have you done any studies or know of any that could tell me if eating more magnesium-based foods would at least help predict these episodes? So is that on your site?
Not specifically, but magnesium can be helpful. I would send that person to www.truehope.com. They have a wonderful mega multiple vitamin and mineral that's scientifically proven to treat bipolar.
Great. The last question, what is the difference between taking magnesium and then seeing that it works as it should in the body? What else can I do if just taking magnesium hasn't worked?
If taking magnesium has not worked?
Yes. I think this is the restless leg person.
The
same addresses.
Right. Well, that might be need to be more comprehensive because it could relate to thyroid, it can relate to mercury toxicity. There are many layers of that this person might have to go into.
Do you have to take magnesium with something else, I think is what they're asking.
Yes. I mean, I usually put people on food-based organic supplements. So you start with a good diet, and then you add food-based organic multiple and magnesium as an extra.
Can you give your website one more time where people can get in touch with you and get a personal appointment?
sure. It's carolyndean.com, carolyndean.com. And can I give out a phone number?
Sure.
718-885-1104.
Do you want to repeat that?
718-885-1104.
Questions are pouring in. We're going to have you back. This has been wonderful, and you've given people a lot of information that they can use on their own. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, anytime.
It's time for us to go. It's time for us to go. I want to talk to you more, but we're going to kick us off the air here in a few minutes if I don't get off by myself. All right. Till next time.
Next time. Thank you, Sherry.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Like an old time troubadour.